And we're back with another episode of Black and a Half.
We are on a roll, Manny.
Yes.
This is a roll.
Ugh.
And we're there.
We're there.
We're happening.
Yes, like a croissant.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. It was a roll.
Is it a roll?
I don't think it is a roll. I don't think.
It could be a roll.
Maybe.
I'm going to go to Fred Meyers now, and I'm going to be like, what do I push in? What do I press? is there a separate button, or is it a roll?
Is it a roll? I don't know.
Folks, today's guest, this is our first repeat ever.
Yeah.
First repeat guest.
One of my favorites.
It's my favorite repeat.
Yes.
it's my favorite repeat we've had so far. Joseph Greenauer, local Seattle comic.
Orchidist.
It sounds like he's racist against orchids. Orchid specialist. He co-hosts You Know What's Good With That, the web series with me.
Make sure you
check it out. Just finished season one.
Yep.
Check it out. You'll be going to whatsgoodshow.com to check that out.
Yep.
Do that. All right. What's Good Show.
Sweet.
I think that's the website.
I think, yeah.
I just registered it today. I'm trying to remember.
There you go. We'll post it so you guys can click it. We talk about a lot on this podcast, man.
We talked a lot about the Mandela Effect.
Yes.
Which was called something else before time switched.
Yep. Before we hit this alternate timeline that we're in where Trump's president.
Yeah.
So.
In case you didn't know.
Yep.
You're like, what? Wait, no. Someone else was president.
Yeah,
what are you talking
Hillary
about?
Wasn't
a woman? Yeah, nope. Not in this timeline.
Not in this one.
Get your head out of your ass. All right. So we talk about that. We talk about the Earth. We talk about a lot of crazy theories. And I don't know. It was a really fun episode. Lots of laughs.
Yeah.
Joe talked a lot.
Yeah. We talked about being broke in Seattle.
Yeah. It is broke. It's a tough thing.
Yeah.
Nobody has any money.
Nope.
Want to thank your sponsor, Skyline Properties. If your broke ass wants to buy a house, go to silasgetsreal.com and for any of your housing or selling needs, sell it, because you need the money.
Exactly.
Sell it and move to the country.
There you go.
Go to Idaho. Why are you still in Seattle?
Yeah, it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining, and if you don't make $8 million a year, you are poor.
You're not gonna,
that's what they say.
Not going to be able to enjoy
Dick's
it.
Dick's Burgers just raised their price. You can buy a burger now for $12.
Yes.
That is not true. Don't sue me, Dick's.
I would love you, Dick's.
It's a comedy show.
Yes.
Go eat a lot of Dick's at Dick's.
Yes.
All right. Or Capitol Hill. All right. today's episode is brought to you by Glory.
Yes.
Glory.
Been next to a lot of holes in the life.
Glory's been next to a lot of holes since 1732.
Yes.
Support Glory.
Yeah.
Manny.
Yes.
This is a good episode where we've now broken past 30.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is episode 31.
We're adults.
Yeah, 31. Like, we're gonna in 4 or 5 episodes, we're gonna buy a motorcycle.
We are. Oh.
We're gonna have
gonna be great.
A midlife crisis.
Yeah.
We're leaving our wives. We're not leaving our wives.
Well,
we're just going to go to, like, Canada.
There you go.
To meet some Canadian women, some Canucks.
Yeah, because it's not cheating if it's in a different country.
Right.
Right.
And especially if it's Canada. It's not exotic.
No.
They're like, did you cheat it with, like, a white redhead? That's not, what is that? And like, well, yeah.
Next to mooses?
At least it wasn't someone exotic.
Yeah, exactly.
You ate poutine off of her? There's some foods that don't work in a sexual situation. I think poutine. Eat poutine off of poutine? What'd you do?
That's hilarious.
Don't let your children listen to this.
Yeah,
episode.
We apologize. Also, stay tuned, man. We might have some cool stuff going on later this year.
We definitely do.
We definitely do. It's going
to
be fun.
I'm teaching a home buying class May 13th.
Yep.
I feel like I have a show in May. But
I think you do.
I'm headlining. Yes, that's
what
it is. I'm headlining Cooper's Ale House.
Oh, man.
Cooper's Ale House.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the third headliner there.
Yeah, man.
On May 11th.
Yes.
And then May 4th, Daryl's Tavern. Do that the first of every month.
There you go.
I'm hosting there.
Awesome.
See, that's how fast I step up, Manny.
You do.
I'm hosting 1 week.
And then,
and I'm,
boom.
I'm headlining the next. And you're in a rut.
I'm gonna, yeah, yeah.
You're hosting.
Hosting. And then I'm hosting.
And then you're hosting.
And then I'm hosting. Yeah.
And then you're like, well, let me take a couple weeks off. I'm hosting so much. And then they're like, Manny, in 2 weeks, we'll let you feature.
Yeah, there you go. Like,
woo!
Yeah, I think
they're like, how much time do you want me to do? Like 6 minutes.
There you go.
Six minute feature.
I was like, you want me to crush it at six? I can do that.
I will crush it at six.
Six motherfucking minutes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So it was hey, fun episode.
Super fun.
Check it out. Episode 31, Joseph Greenhour.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Can swallow.
Thank you. Oh God.
Was that our moment for Harambe?
Yes.
Harambe.
How many votes did he get?
You know what's funny? Like everyone's been making jokes about Harambe. Like I would see there's a store up by one of my brother came to visit. My brother Josh came to visit.
Is he the older one or the?
He's the second after me. He's
okay.
It's my mom. The next child my mom had after me.
Oh okay.
But he came to. He came to visit me, but then he ended up with some friend of his. Like every day after the first day, he wasn't even there. And I'm like, I ended up having to leave his suitcase outside so that he could grab it. Cause I was like, yeah, we're gone. Cause you just haven't been here.
Hilarious.
Like we didn't know what he was. But there's a store. So he wanted to go to the pot shop.
Oh, okay.
He grew up a Rasta.
Oh, okay.
And so it was amazing. He's from Massachusetts, where they just legalized marijuana, but it's not there yet.
Yeah.
And so he's like, so he just walk into the store.
Oh, he was just like,
I've never been in one.
So many comics asked.
So it was my first time going in. Like, yeah, just go.
And now he busts out the Visine. I like it.
But anyway,
you don't even smoke this shit. What do you need that for?
I have the driest eyes.
Up in Shoreline, there's a store called Harambe.
Is it really?
Yeah.
What? Oh.
Well, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know the reference. I know there's a reference. I just I forgot what the hell it was.
You're right.
It was the ape, right?
It was a gorilla. Like gorilla? They dropped a kid in the gorilla cage.
Yeah, he was fucking around and fell in.
The black kid.
Black kid.
I know. Like at first when you heard that news, I was like, that's got to be a white kid. Then I was like, black people. Damn it.
We're this is a special episode of Black and a Half.
We got
We have our first repeat guest, Joseph Greenhour. He's
Hello.
Here today.
Yes.
Repeat.
Mr. Yeah. Pineapple.
He is here promoting his new comedy show at, where is that? Tell us where
it's at. It's at Cooper's Ale House. It's on Lake City Way and 85th. Nice
doing a
place.
Trial run, right?
You know, the management wanted to have a comedy show in there, and they were pushing for an open mic. And it actually, I gotta throw a shout out to Annika Sela because she's friends with the management.
A big listener of ours, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she they asked her if she could put together an open mic, and she's like, "That's not really what you know. That's not what I do. But
yeah.
I can ask around." And I told him I could help him out, but then I talked him out of the open mic because, you know, it's better if you have a quality comedy show, and so they decided to go with the showcase. We're going to try 3 weeks of it, and if it goes well, do well for the bar, then they're going to have us there regular every Thursday.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you start with a, easy commitment, something that's not too hard for them to, that way if they're on the hook and they don't like it, they can
kind of opt out.
6 weeks, normally.
That's how long it takes.
Yeah, you tell them. That's what that don't. Well, you're gonna know whether it's gonna work or not in 6. When I go into a show, that's what I tell them. They need to commit to is 6 weeks.
Yeah,
or 6 shows if it's a 6 month thing,
right,
or it's a monthly thing, because you won't know because it's gonna take time to
build up.
You
know, that
you doing the open mic twist in the beginning will help.
But. Yeah, well, that was the thing we kind of compromised because they I think they wanted to get the you know, with open mics, the comics drink.
Yeah, they just want to. Yeah. They're like every other owner. They just want to use the comics to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, get them to drink.
But this is a good compromise because we're actually going to start. It's a 90-minute show. We're going to start the first 30 minutes with some open spots. People can come in, sign up. And then we're going to have the second 30 minutes. We'll have two, maybe three acts, depending upon how many people we got. And then we'll have somebody close out the show for half an hour.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, the Royal Room in Olympia.
They do that?
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
I think it changed its name now, but that's what they did. Open mic and then the show.
Somebody tried to convince me to have an open mic after the show, and I was like, you know, you're going to have a headliner leaving everybody feeling good, and then some wanker's going to come in with his shitty dick joke, and then that's...
Yeah, we used to do that at the Parlor, the New Faces show. Do you remember that? It was so awful. It was
because then otherwise, they'll if you do the, sometimes you do the comedy, the open mic beforehand, and you get a bunch of people leave. Because they're like, oh, is this the shit it's going to be?
Right.
And so that's
I think if you limit the number of spots, though, because if we get a good turnout of comics, it'll be easy for me to choose people that are maybe a little more expensive. I'm like, if somebody says...
Have you thought about the email list first, or is that too much work?
I don't want to be dealing with that. Yeah. I'd rather just see who shows up. Because half the time people email...
Send me an Instagram if you would like to be on the show. My favorite thing was I was like... People in Seattle were doing that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's, do us Twitter. Send us Twitter to sign up. And everyone was doing it. And I was like, I'm not fucking signing up on Twitter to get on a mic. No, I'm not doing that. And I just loved recently how everybody just killed it because they realized, oh, this sucks.
I think show up, go up is the best. If you're there, you're there. Right. And that's it.
I need to reserve my, you don't want to have to waste your time.
And then that way, you know, also around. Like you can look. Because if somebody shows up also and they're like drunk or, or in a pissy mood. You know, and you're like, oh, this guy's gonna turn. You know, he's gonna bite at the audience. Like, we don't want that. And then also, like, you know, we're gonna have the signups. This is okay. I'll admit it's a dirty trick, but we're gonna have the sign up from 8 to 8:30. Show don't start till 9. So that means that if there's comics there waiting to see who's on the list, they might get a drink or something to help our numbers.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, that's not uncommon.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you know, I shouldn't say that because. Now everybody's going to think I'm
because nasty 500 chaser. People are going to listen to this podcast next week, and they'll be like, "Oh, that's what's going on."
Yeah.
But you're what day does it start?
Tomorrow.
Okay,
Thursday.
So this will
come out
like 3 weeks.
Yeah, but you're going to come out right before my my show.
Yeah,
Where I'm headlining there.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the kind of...
Oh,
there you go.
Now you guys know how these connections work.
All right.
Our third of three headliners is the person I'm sitting next to.
Wow.
There you go.
Boy, no, it's going to be... That's big comedy, show. Buddy. Oh, yeah. Get on. We could be Chappelle, you know, Chris Rock, and Amy Schumer, right? Like, I mean, the three of us...
Just steal all your jokes.
We're just here.
Just steal all your shit.
We're the next wave. In 20 years, that'll be us. Bitter... With an hour.
Yeah. I could never be Amy Schumer because I just don't sleep with enough people.
There you go. That's all right.
Here's a question for comedy. I watched Mike Birbiglia's special.
Which
recently.
You said was amazing.
I loved it. Did you watch it?
No.
Did you watch it yet?
I haven't watched a comedy special in like a year. Yeah. It's been a long time.
So you didn't see the new Chappelle's either?
No. I haven't seen those. I haven't watched any of
those.
Afraid
of learning jokes? What are you doing? What do you watch?
You know, the thing is...
I'm kind of the same way, though. I don't want to, like, think that I thought of something that I didn't think of.
And... Well, that's part of it. That's definitely part of it. But a lot of it is also this, you know, when I go to as many comedy shows as I do, I see comedy all the time. I'm not going to sit at my house and
watch. Yeah, but you see shitty comedy, mostly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's nice to see how, like... That's
how
like
a pro does it.
That's like me not watching Premier League soccer because I go to my daughter's soccer games.
Well,
she's 10.
You know what it actually is? It's more like when you go to eat a hamburger at McDonald's every day, and then some places are like, there's a new gourmet burger shop, and they're like, you know what? How about pizza?
Yeah, yeah. No,
How about we just watch something? Oh, yeah. The thing is when I'm at home by myself, my real preference is just to blast Aliens on the Xbox.
There you go.
I just want to go around and shoot Aliens. And then, you know, if it's something that we're watching on TV, my wife's going to decide, and it's going to be shit. So I'm just not going to, you know.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Mike Birbiglia, I love him. He's a storytelling comic. They're almost more one-man shows. I'm not sure what the difference exactly is between a one-man show and a stand-up routine.
I think it's just being funny.
But there's a...
Yeah, I think a one man show versus.
But he's funny. He's funny as much as any of these other. Yeah,
well, so, I think so Billy Crystal's shows are funny, but they're really more one man shows than they are.
Who?
Billy Crystal?
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh.
Well, know. Okay, like John Leguizamo, I don't know if you saw what he did on like Showtime. That was a one-man show where it was more like he was telling his life story, and then there were just funny parts to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's it more serious a lot?
There were some real serious parts in it.
Yeah, Michael has a few serious, but not mostly, but then like it wraps up with a nice little button at the end. Like, oh, okay. You understand there was a purpose to
maybe there's,
all the
maybe there's
stories
a,
that
a mix
he told.
Between the two, then.
Yeah, because I don't know, like, a lot of... So that's what I'm trying to do in my comedy, is I'm trying to get these stories that I can,
right.
Which is hard to do unless you get a 45-minute slot.
You can't even
You can't
practice.
Play with that. Yeah. Yeah, like you can try to play in a 30,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's not quite enough.
Especially if you're like a feature spot too, you can't really.
Yeah, because your job is to kind of pump
set
up,
it up
the crowd.
And keep the show moving.
Yeah.
Right.
You're supposed to be the part that really launches them into the headliner.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, I got shit to work on. I have a voice, man. I want to talk about shit.
You know what? That would be what's that place that had the, like, it's like a theater, but it's the small, the Jewel Box?
Yeah.
Oh, the Rendezvous, yeah.
Or the Rendezvous, yeah, yeah. Yeah. What, like, just do a few shows there. Just do your one man.
You know, there are headlining comics. I think Rory Scovel did it recently, where they'll just rent a place for the weekend, and then they'll put on a couple of shows a night, because it only seats, like, 40 people or whatever.
Yeah.
And they'll run through their hour four or five times in a weekend before they take it on the road, just to tune it up.
That's cool.
And I saw Rory there, and it was, he did this thing where he found, like, a broomstick or something backstage.
Yeah.
And he just riffed on it for 15 minutes. But it was really interesting because, you know, watching him work was great. He kind of riffs and then goes into material, and it was very seamless. And you could tell he was very comfortable, and it's, you know, it was a small room, and it was all about him with no openers, no host, no anything.
That's
he just
cool.
came out and talked for an hour.
He's an outlier, though, you know? I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not your average comic.
Well, no, I would say he's above average.
Yeah, he's an outlier. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I can't rent,
you know, Chris Rock
the Jewel Box and sell it out, and then he does what?
Chris Rock shows up to, like, really old, like, communities where it's like he knows he's going to have to, like, work. And he said, you know, he does his whole, like, hour, and he said if he can make them laugh, then he knows that it's ready, and he goes and does it in front of everybody else.
I don't work out enough. Basically,
yeah, you're better than me. You're like,
I don't know about that.
No, and I mean, as far as just like discipline and going to shit, like, okay, there was an open mic.
It's
like,
a low bar, dude.
I know it is. It's like, a really low bar. It's hilarious. Like, so we got this. Like, it was me, Jack, and Silas on this like text chain, and Jack's like, "Hey, you guys want to come to the Underground?" And then Silas is like, "Nope, Manny hates comedy." Like, and I'm like, "Yep, that's 100% true. I won't be there." So.
You're up so much, though. I mean, you're up.
Well,
more than
yeah,
a lot
but
of people.
You you've also got a regular gig, and I think probably the most polished club in the area.
True.
I mean, Parlor gets all the big names, and
yeah, unless you're
cleanest
at
bathrooms in comedy.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, I love your bathrooms there, man. Yeah, I got that black marble in there, and it's all
except
shiny.
For, except for the you know,
it's like a Vegas hotel.
Then they got the valet right
yeah.
in there.
Oh,
that,
they used to
like,
in Seattle.
Washes your hands. Holds
oh
your, holds
yeah,
your penis,
yeah, yeah, that guy,
a,
man.
What?
C-Dub, man, he's always like...
Hey, if he shakes it more than twice, he gets a bigger tip.
You know what the grossest thing I've ever seen him do? I love him to death. But I saw him eating ice cream in the bathroom while somebody was taking a shit. I was like, this is gross.
Okay, I have this thing about food in the bathroom.
So you guys really have a valet in there during the shows? Or
yeah, he just is like
on the
totally...
There's a guy in there.
Yeah, he like...
You know, like to hand you the towels?
Yeah,
no,
I've been to classy places.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
Okay.
Food in the bathroom.
I can't handle it.
Neither
like,
can I.
I cannot, like...
I think that there's shit particles on whatever.
Right. Like, if I can't walk in, like, even with a sandwich and my daughter has some, I have to put it down. I'll put it on the floor outside the bathroom before I cross the boundary.
You guys
some people just, like, eat on the bathroom.
Okay,
eat on the
I
toilet,
used to do, in college, I had a job doing water damage repair. So if your pipes break or whatever, you call a plumber, and then there's, like, all this water all over the place.
Right.
And sometimes it was poo water. I got called to a downtown job where it was me and two other guys, and we had to wear the full waterproof hazmat suit because one of those giant skyscrapers had a sewer main break.
Oh,
now they have a pipe
shit.
That goes and it services. It's like, you know, it's pretty big around. It's like a, you know, a 16, 18 inch diameter pipe. And it services like five floors of the building.
Uh-huh.
Which means every toilet, every sink goes into that pipe. And one of these things broke wide open, left a lake of poo water. And we had to go to the bottom level of the parking structure and down a manhole into this puddle of poo. And my coworker DW pulls out a Whopper.
Are you what? Shitting
a
me?
A Whopper cheeseburger from Burger King.
So someone shoved it in the toilet?
God.
No, he had it in his jumpsuit.
Oh, and just started eating?
And he pulled it out on the job. And we'd been in there for like an hour.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, where the shit did you get that cheeseburger
so
from?
So it's been festing in-
And then he says, it's not so bad once you get used to the smell.
Oh, my God.
That he could eat in there.
No.
Yeah. Our other coworker pretty much threw up right into the poo water.
Oh, so, yeah. I would,
seeing the,
yeah, I would
because of the poo
that.
Or because of his
because
sandwich?
Because the homeboy was eating a cheeseburger in there.
I saw that on Dirtiest Jobs one time, and it's gross. There's like calcium buildup and all kinds of
I had
of
food poisoning
shit.
A few months ago.
Yeah.
And
you
got to
stop
think,
cooking, man. You got to stop cooking.
I don't think it was from the. I ate some salsa at night. I don't think it was from that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the last thing I ate.
Ooh.
And it returned quickly, you know, like in the middle of the night, middle of the night of the morning. And I love salsa so much, and I can't eat it now. I can't, like, it's just in the fridge. I'm like, nope, just can't.
There's certain things.
So I started just using hot sauce on things because I'm like, I can't.
Oh,
cook
I got a
salsa.
Bad, I got a bad hangover with a nasty case of the vomits from cinnamon schnapps in college. Ooh. And now I can't do Big Red gum. I can't do anything cinnamon flavored. You put any cinnamon on like a copy of mine, I'll send it back. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do salt because of one Easter as a kid. Somebody put too much salt on like an egg and it just like ugh. And also just swimming in the ocean.
That's the fucking weakest story.
That's the weakest story.
I also ate too much salt once.
Being black, I probably shouldn't have salt anyway. But and then I can't do dark beers because like there's just I throw them up and it hurts to throw them up. It's just so acidic and gross.
I have a friend who says if you want to get sick drinking beer, drink the cloudy stuff. Mm-hmm. Just stick with the clear.
Yeah. That's true.
I had when I was my first marriage. In college, I was in a college town of Chico, and my quote best man, he made me a sign for the bachelor party that said, "I'm getting married, buy me a drink."
Ooh.
And the first woman who saw me, she walks in, she goes, "Come with me," and she gave me a stoplight, which was three drinks, green, yellow, and red, And
is it
that
on fire?
Started my night,
and you were gone.
Was it on, is it? Do they set
no,
that one
it wasn't
on fire?
On fire at the time.
Yeah.
Because I've seen that in a Mexican restaurant. They have they call it the Mexican flag, and it's a green, yellow, and red, and then they light the top on fire.
Oh shit!
That night, I had also gotten like six prairie fires.
Ooh.
Do you know what those are?
No.
It's like tequila with some pepper.
Yeah.
And Tabasco.
Right.
It's a nasty drink. Ooh. And people just kept getting me them because they thought it was funny when I reacted to the first one.
Yeah.
And then they would just be like, oh, it's a nasty drink. You got to drink it.
Ugh.
Like for a good 4 or 5 years, if someone said the word prairie fire, I shivered up my spine.
Ooh,
like I had a physical reaction to it.
That's kind of how I felt after my bachelor party because it started out okay. And then Jose Bolaños showed up with Ricky.
Right?
Yeah. And then they like bought me these like drinks and I'm like then we go to GameWorks and all I remember is going upstairs to the bathroom throwing up in the bathroom in front of some kids and looking at them and being like this is your life if you don't get your shit together. So it was fun.
Chuck E. Cheese
man throwing
basically it's become Chuck E. Cheese I feel like
pretty GameWorks. Much
have you been to GameWorks?
I went there. Yeah, I've been there a few times. I went there a long time ago and I think games have gotten better since then. But yeah, it just seemed like a real fancy video game arcade.
You know what the good one is, though, now, is that the one in Bellevue? Or
Lucky?
No, not Lucky.
Lucky Strike.
Lucky Strike's cool. I like the Star Wars game.
Such a good game.
If I was a millionaire, I would get that $10,000 machine. But the one in South Center, it's called 1-Up or Level Up or something like that.
Mm.
This thing is crazy. It's got four Mario Kart machines next to each other that you can go race and play against each other.
Just Mario Kart, just playing.
So there's a Mario Kart machine. There's like Tekken on one side. There's Street Fighter. There's
air
hockey.
There's a place right over in North 8 by Five Guys Burger.
Uh-huh.
There's a place you can go in and like there's a bunch of computer consoles that we can.
What about you remember the one in Tacoma until like there was good until he said the N-word or some shit and
what?
Then like it got shut
down?
Oh
yeah. Okay, I remember him. That was a couple years ago.
It was crazy. So one thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know. Actually, it was the Mandela effect. This shit has my mind.
Hey, and I made a joke about this, but I'm not even kidding about it.
Yeah.
I swear I knew it by a different date.
You knew the Mandela effect by a different
name? I swear there was a different name for it.
No shit.
Like a month
I don't
ago.
Know why, but it seems like that just popped up on my Facebook a lot today.
Because people are tripping out about it.
Because
right
I posted it, what, like Monday?
Yeah.
But people have been like posting it, I guess, for a while.
The last like 6 months, there's been a lot of heat about it. Ever since that Sinbad thing came out.
Yeah, where everybody thought he was in a movie Shazam.
That's what started. Yeah, that Sinbad played a genie.
Holy
in a movie.
Shit! I kind of got chills.
And people right. said, "You're like, no, he was never
it was
in
Shaq,
a,
but
no,
Shaq
like,
was
yeah,
in a movie where
right.
he played a genie."
Everyone's like, "Yeah, we acknowledge
but I almost
that,
pictured...
but we all say Sinbad was in a movie too. That there were, some and sort I remember of genie. Going like, oh, they're both
there's two genie type movies,
but apparently there's no other genie movie
crazy
with the black man like
Holy
at that
shit.
Time, and that was like." I mean, everyone has vague. A lot of people have vague memories of this, and
part of me almost wonders, though, like because you know your brain can play tricks on you,
right. yeah. And so, it's common tricks that happen
yeah,
again
yeah.
and again.
But here's what I think I'm seeing with the Sinbad thing. Sinbad used to wear the goofiest outfits during his stand up.
Yeah,
right. He looked like a genie.
He did look like a genie
because he was wearing those big baggy jumpsuits.
Yeah, jumpsuits, yeah. And he looked like a genie. But
and
then,
he's also big like Shaq.
Exactly. So he's big like Shaq. And then number three is that. He was in a movie where the little white kid was like his best friend, kind of like a genie type.
That was first. That was the movie where he's a Secret Service guy.
Secret
right?
Service guy, and he had to like take care of the kid. And but then there's also the one where he was him and Phil Hartman, where he was like,
yeah.
So I mean, there's kind of like family type movies that he's done where.
But it was a weird. People have this memory of
him.
Watching this movie,
right?
And they're like, and now it doesn't exist.
Okay, for those of you listening out there, the Mandela Effect. I'm going to try to break it down as simple as I can. It is basically they think the electron collider that we have.
Well, that's that one kid's theory.
Well, okay. Yep. So some people think it's that.
Right.
But basically they think that the parallel universes have somehow overlapped. And so it's changed by like the smallest fraction.
That's one theory.
One theory. Okay. So there's
multiple
theories.
I mean, the Mandela
theories.
Effect.
Go ahead.
Mandela Effect yeah. is that. People have some memories of events that did not happen.
Right.
And it's called Mandela because a lot of people thought Nelson Mandela died in prison and they read about it. But then he actually didn't.
Didn't.
Yeah.
No, he became president.
Yeah, yeah. And he lived and he just recently passed away.
But they remember that had happened. And then there's other things like Fruit Loops being spelled differently.
Yeah.
As a
Kit Kat, I swear to God, had like a hyphen in between the kit and the cat.
Bernstein.
That's the one
I
trip out
swear
of.
To God,
I
were
remember
Jewish
being
bears.
A kid and that thing being like, this is not how you spell Bernstein because it was you normally spell it with an E. So I actually remember as a kid that being an A.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the Kit Kat thing, I don't remember the Kit Kat.
Okay. What about Oscar Mayer? I swear to God, Oscar Mayer was spelled M-E-Y-E-R.
Yeah, that's that one.
I was trying to remember like cause I did a audition with that.
Right.
As a kid.
Yeah. I swear I've always seen it.
M-E-Y-E-R. Like I was
M-E-Y-E-R.
Like, I guess I can go M-E. Like, it does trip me out.
Dude, that, yeah.
So we were watching, Manny and I were watching earlier before this 13-year-old genius.
Yeah, his name is Max, like, Laughlin or something like that.
Oh, I saw that. I had to turn that little punk off. I couldn't listen to that shit.
He's too fucking smart, you
know,
yeah.
Oh, well,
or he thinks
like,
he knows shit.
Well, and everything he was saying, he was like, well, it could be this, but, you know, then you have this, and then it's a paradox. And it's like, well, fucking everything's a paradox. Like,
yeah.
Listen, little man, you come to me like when you're married and tell me what your wife said to you because everything she says is going to be a paradox. All right? She tells me one thing and then she does another thing.
No, but his theory was that when we did the super collider, it changed the weight of an electron. And that I do remember there being this risk. They're like, well, it might create a black hole or a universal destruction. But, you know, it's science, so we want to work on this. And
isn't
I was like, what
crazy?
The are you fucking kidding me? Like, there's points that you maybe don't do an experiment.
Yeah.
And so he theorizes that there was actually a destruction of our universe at that when they did that. And it shifted us into
into a different one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then we had to go into a different one. And that's why there's these little changes.
That's...
I'm not any better looking, so I don't really like this.
Well, no, we didn't change.
We didn't change physically, but little things changed. So, like the mirror
on
the wall.
Or maybe in the other world, you look even worse.
No, that's a good point.
This could actually be the improvement.
Or you were
Tom Cruise. That's scary.
Oh, and your wife's looking at you like, man, I just thought he was
handsome. I remember him being better looking. I swear, when I married him, he was better looking.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's so funny, man. You know, it's like I tried telling my wife about this, but she was like, no, this is like a memory thing. Like, they've done it with some communities where they've studied.
There's also like all these people are like, we're living in a hologram because statistically, that, you know, and I'm like, at what point can we just say, like, you know, this is the world and it's kind of real?
I love, though, when religious people try to tell me, like, oh, that's not possible.
Right.
That's not. What. I'm like, you got to believe in a lot of stuff that many people will say is not possible. So maybe we shouldn't mess with this idea. Let's not throw this just out.
Out the window. Anything is possible. Like, I don't think Joe spoke on it on the last thing, but what was the priest's...
Parallel universes are not possible. It's a ridiculous statement. Now, excuse me, I need to go to church and celebrate the rising of God from the dead.
Okay. Well, I want Joe to explain that his...
There's 72 virgins waiting for me to go bang for the rest of my life when I die.
But the Mandela effect.
That's bullshit. That whole parallel universe, that's impossible.
What kind of crazy man thinks that?
Well, actually, so before you explain your God theory that you talked to the priest, let's name all of the Mandela things. So was it mirror, mirror on the wall, or was it...
Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff like mirror, mirror on the wall, and then there's like beam me up, Scotty. Like, they never once in all of Star Trek actually say beam me up, Scotty.
Right.
You know, it was always like, Scotty, two to beam up. And so, like, then the catchphrase became beam me up, Scotty. And right. I think it's with all those other things that are catchphrases.
Mandela has not been... That's not part of it.
I know, but he's talking about, like, in Snow White.
Everybody remembers this saying, mirror. It's a famous line.
Mirror, mirror on
the
wall.
I asked my daughter.
Who's the fairest of them all,
everyone,
right?
What's the dark witch say? What's the witch say?
Right.
I think a mirror, mirror on the wall.
But those things, all those stories, like that movie is adapted from a story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the book. It was written that way.
Scully over here. Right?
Look, I'm not. I think weird Scully. Shit happens. So I think this actually could have happened, and that if we found out like that we were in a different universe than the one we were in before,
like Hillary,
I would
be
like, well, shit. Am I getting a raise? Are we? You know, like what's
right?
What's going to happen? Is anything better going to happen? But
in another universe, my mother didn't marry somebody 30 years younger than me. She married Jack. Jack's my stepdad.
Yeah,
in
there you
universe.
Go. That'd be great. Silas, clean your room. I wonder, like, you know, the different possibilities. I mean, how crazy is that, though, that you're willing to risk all of humanity to collide?
That was stupid. I remember seeing that. I mean, like, wait, you think there's a minor possibility of creating a black hole?
You want to hear my theory?
What?
That they did create a black hole and they learned how to time travel.
Ooh. And just fucking with people?
Yeah.
Ooh. Just like, you know, like, what? Let's go change the spelling. See what they do.
Right.
See what they do.
What if they did? Like, what if they just, like, what if we literally, like, what if they found out how to change time?
You know what would be really funny?
What's that?
That Trump guy? What if we make him president? That would be hilarious.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you remember hearing about this. Sometimes if you watch certain, like, World War II, like documentaries, they'll say that they saw these weird like spaceships, like, or like these weird like aircrafts.
The Foo Fighters.
Like, what was that?
That's the Foo Fighters. The World War II pilots saw what they say is like spaceships.
Yeah.
And that's where the term Foo Fighters came from, because they were there was fighters, there was some kind of spaceship, and then they disappeared real fast, and everyone's like, oh. And that happened, I think, actually over the Bermuda Triangle.
And they said something about they thought that they actually thought that the other side had, you know, planes, because they said the planes were maneuvering in and out of them like it was nothing. And they were like, oh, shit, we're done. But then they just disappeared. So, who's to say these guys didn't find a way to travel back or forward in time?
Well, you know, the aliens. Okay, I'm not the only one that has this theory, but you know, the aliens, they got the triangle shaped head and the big black almond eyes and a little nose and a little mouth, right? And they're like, they call them the skinnies or the grays. They're the ones that are on all the posters and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are not aliens at all.
Right.
I think those are people from the future.
With jumpsuits.
And I think, yeah, and I think what's happened is with like cloning and all of the advances in medicine, like we're now in the future, they're able to produce new people without, you know, sex. So you, and they're also able to get all their nutrients without like actually eating.
And bigger brains.
Right. So they have like, they have this tiny little mouth because all they have to do is swallow one nutrient pill.
Why live? Why live?
That's a good point.
Well,
can't have sex, can't eat.
They take away all the fun. But I mean, look, like, Trump's president.
Let's go and fuck with people in the past.
I think what they're doing is they're coming back for fresh DNA. And the reason why they landed in Roswell in 1945 is that's right before we started using things like preservatives in the food, microwaves. That's right before we started doing a lot of, like, you know, the things that are part
before
of our...
Before cancer was a big thing.
Wait, well, what, I think cancer was always a big thing, but it's those were the last humans that had the uncorrupted DNA before we started... Because,
well,
you know, microwave...
Why wouldn't they go back to, like, 1800s?
Because they want the most evolved humans. So they want to get the humans that are latest in the timeline, but before we start using things like
pesticides,
also electromagnetic radiation there was not a lot of electricity back then. So, you know, radiation from wires and stuff causes a lot of cancer and mutations and stuff.
I mean, even our phones, holy shit.
And our phones, just beaming those radio waves right in your brain, you know. Damn. So I think that was the last time they could
talk
get
on them right now.
Uncorrupted DNA. So that's when they went back and, you know, pulled all the abductions.
Ooh.
And I think that's, you know, that's my personal theory.
It's a fascinating theory.
It's, you know, they're not aliens. They're humans from the future.
Is this the things you think about while you're planting orchids?
I think about all kinds of things.
There's no talk radio anymore except for crazy Republican conservative talk radio.
That's
right?
The worst.
Like, there's no.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, you got NPR that's kind of.
There was for a while, I think, in the 80s, there was a bunch of Larry King type people
now.
That were all just like interviewing.
I remember the buzz in Seattle. I liked that one. Was like in.
I like Rachel Bell not NPR, but.
NPR is good.
But then there's also another one. It's like 97.3.
It's really talk radio. It's not just people calling in.
Unless you want sports.
Like, I want to be the crazy guy.
Well, there was a UFO guy that used to come on at like 2 a.m. and people would call in with I can't remember
in
his
Seattle?
Name. No, he was a nationwide guy. He was syndicated. My grandma used to listen to him. My grandma, when her husband died, she couldn't sleep by herself, you know, and so she started this thing that she did for the rest of her life after he died. But she got a little earbud that she plugged into her radio and she would just listen to her radio. And actually, that's when 9/11 happened, I was at my grandma's house.
Oh, wow.
And she came, she kicked down my door like the Charlie's Angels, right? And she was like, you better wake up, this country's under attack. And I was like, what is this crazy old woman talking about now? I was like, okay, like if she wants me to get up at 5 a.m, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. because she heard it on her on her earbud as a special bulletin that a plane had crashed into the World Trade Center. So we sat down and started watching TV. We saw the second plane hit live on TV.
Yeah, I remember.
And I was
that.
Like, what is going on? You know, but that's just because she had that earbud in. And she was telling me about this guy that was on at like 2 a.m. or whatever. You know, she's old. She can't sleep. You know, so she'd sit up and listen to this guy. And he had all these just like crazy theories.
Yeah.
And she kind of got into it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when she ordered the Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown book series, which we had. And I read every one of those cover to cover, like spontaneous combustion, UFOs. There's some weird shit. Okay. Yeah. Like they've got like in Chile, they got this desert that's like the most barren place in all Earth, right? Like, there's, like, the shit just does not grow there. It's dry, it's hot, it gets real cold at night. It's like, you know, other than the Arctic tundra, it is the driest place on Earth.
Wow.
And in the middle of this desert, right, and in all these weird little places around it, there's, like, giant statues, there's like this one place where they have this, they call it, like, the gateway to the stars. It's like this hole in the wall.
Oh, I heard about
that. All of this, like, these carvings and stuff.
Did you ever hear about the hole in the wall? The shaman that disappeared in it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is this kooky stuff happens, you know? And, okay, here's a mind blower for you. There's Mayan temples, right? The pyramids they built all over Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's pyramids in Egypt, right? They found when dissecting mummies, cocaine, and the Egyptians used to do surgery and they had anesthesia, right? Wow. And they say one of the anesthetics they used was cocaine. Now, cocaine only grows in South America.
Oh, wow.
So where did they get that stuff, right?
Damn.
And those pyramids structurally are very, very similar to each other. Now, the ones in Mexico are not as impressive as the ones in Egypt,
right,
but they post-date them.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically says to me there was some kind of transatlantic trade going on.
Yeah.
And somebody with the technology to build pyramids came from Egypt to the New World like 5,000 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and they built that stuff, right?
Right.
Oldest form of writing that they know of on Earth is like 10,000 years old. There's been stuff happening.
Like, didn't they say like the pyramids are separated by like exactly pi, like, or 3.14s? I don't know. Some shit like...
Oh, the pyramids actually, well...
That could be from the stars,
too. The constellations, the pyramids are actually in place, like the ones at Giza.
Mm-hmm.
There's two right next to each other, and then there's a third one that's a little off, and it's actually the belt of Orion. They're like perfectly aligned.
Oh, wow.
And they using that, have found the beginning of other pyramid sites where they never finished the pyramids.
Right.
Because, like, the government collapse or whatever.
Right.
They were building these pyramids on Earth, you know, to mirror the constellations of the stars above.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, that's something. But that's, you know, that's explainable. That's an explainable phenomenon. It still doesn't explain, like, how, you know, 5,000-10,000 years ago, without any of the modern technology that we have, like, they were able to build those things,
right?
You know, like how the hell did they build those things?
Do you guys watch Ancient Aliens every now and then?
Oh, yeah, I love that show.
Oh, yeah, I've only seen a few episodes, but my wife won't let me watch it in the house anymore.
No.
Oh, my wife insists we watch it.
See, mine is the opposite. She's like, turn off this dumb shit.
Say yes to that dress.
No, Well, she's an anthropologist, so she wants to, like, find logical reasons for everything. I was like, but you can't rule this out. You never know. This could possibly have happened. So,
well, those humans from the future.
Yeah.
You know, you set the dials wrong on your spaceship, and you come back a couple thousand years early, and you're like, well, we're here, and we may as well get a taco.
Seriously, the funny thing is, this is, like, stupid, and I'm sure this is all explainable, but you ever go on YouTube, and you see where people had, inventions before they were there? Like,
oh, right.
They had somebody at a Mike Tyson fight with, like, you know, this is like 1994 or something, or maybe 93, 92. And somebody's like taking a picture with like a camera phone and shit. So,
oh, but come on. The Russians had, you know, all kinds of little cameras and hidden in pens and shit.
Exactly.
Like back in the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the other big theory going around right now is about the crazy theory is the flat earth people.
Oh, my God.
And like from what I've
Kyrie Irving. Huh? That he's the basketball player.
See, I've actually looked
pictures
at some, right,
of the planet.
But they say those were doctored.
And those videos of people going around the Earth on a space station.
Yeah.
I mean, say it's doctored.
Where the shit are they sending all those rockets to if it's flat?
Right. And here's,
well, there's some,
I've seen
they,
rockets take
they
off.
They say that it's... well, okay, so I saw a video where they were trying to explain it and how that they also think there's like a dome. Like, it's above, but if the dome is above the sun and the moon.
Okay.
So you can go into outer space, but the way it rotates is just kind of like, say you had a round table, and it's just kind of going around.
I think some people need to have their dome checked, because that does not make any sense to me.
That shit is crazy, because here's the thing. I sailed around on a boat, you know what I mean? Like, how come nobody's
ever... Did
you ever
see the horizon? Huh?
Yeah, I saw the fucking horizon.
They're saying the Antarctic, they said, one of the claims...
Has anybody ever fallen off?
They say that because the Antarctic wall is what they say.
People
oh, Jesus. You know, Columbus figured this out like, 500 years ago.
I feel like you're going to create your own theory.
These crazy. Like, I'm watching these and going like, I'm not believing it, but I'm like, okay, they've put a lot more thought into this than I expected. Like, they're coming up with stuff. I'm like, okay, I don't actually know how to explain.
You know why
this,
no one's ever seen the edge? It's because Bigfoot stopped them.
Right.
They got right up to the edge, and Bigfoot came out and whooped their ass.
How come the one agreement that everybody has kept, every government in the country has agreed to not go to Antarctica?
Not
settle it.
They have not agreed to that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't
there's,
Russia.
No, there's
there?
An agreement. There's no building on Antarctica.
Oh, well, they have the International Science Station. Well, I guess no. I'm thinking of the Arctic. There's a lot of territorial claims.
Antarctic.
I think one of the reasons is that it's impractical. Who wants that shit?
Yeah,
you know,
just an ice.
That's the worst real estate on Earth.
Like, not even terrible. For, like, a military, like, purpose, you wouldn't want that.
Put some missiles down there?
But you're not
what's
even close to
what's it
going to
hit? Tierra de Fuego? Most of the landmasses on the north?
I'm just saying.
We're gonna blow up some alpacas.
Yeah.
Well, like, I didn't even know until the missing Malaysian flights, like, about the area in the ocean that doesn't really move. And all trash ends up there.
Oh, the trash pile. I have a stand-up bit about that, actually. I have a joke, which is there's a trash pile in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and it's the size of Texas, and no one cares. And in the meantime, right in the middle of America, we got a trash area the exact size and shape of Texas.
What was I going to say as far as, fuck it. Never mind.
It's crazy. I mean, we've got a lot of this is the problem with YouTube and the internet is everybody has a voice.
And not everybody needs one, yeah.
I mean, the Mandela effect's cool that that's spreading things. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's helpful.
Yeah, probably not.
Even if it's true, I don't know if it's
helpful.
At least
it gives some people a reason for their problems.
But that's true. I see the flat earth thing and I'm like, we need to cut people off. We do need to pass a test maybe to get on this thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, you know, one thing you can't go broke doing, that's underestimating people's intelligence.
Yeah.
Underestimating. You can go broke?
You cannot go broke underestimating intelligence. Just assume people are dumber than they are and you'll make lots of money.
That's true.
Okay.
How many times have you seen something?
I still think you're saying it wrong. I think you're saying...
How many times have you seen something and you're like, this is too stupid, it'll never make any money. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And then it makes a ton of money. Like the Snuggie. It's a goddamn blanket with holes. Okay, people... they put some sleeves on a blanket.
Or even sometimes I make a stupid joke. I mean it to be stupid on and it gets a ton of likes and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
that's
these people
dumb.
Yeah.
Why are you liking that?
Okay, do me a favor, Joe. Explain this your God theory to me with the priest, what he said about being bigger than.
Oh, okay. There was I think we were talking before about the reconciliation of science and religion, right? And I was I was dating for a while before I was married, a very nice young Catholic lady, and I went over to her family's house and they had the parish priest over for dinner, and we were talking. And I was being a real smartass, and I said something they say the Earth's like a billion years old. How can you reconcile that with like God made the Earth in 6 days or whatever?
Right.
And what he said, which just like blew my mind and really made me kind of. Shut up for a while, was that if you imagine that God is at least a billion times greater than the average human mortal, right, that 6 days for God wouldn't be the same as 6 days for us.
Right.
That each day could literally be a billion years.
Yeah.
And that 6 days for God is 6 billion years, the approximate age of the Earth.
So he could be resting.
Right. And the reason why he don't answer the phone when we call is because he's taking a break for the next billion years.
Wow.
He'll check back in with you later. You know? Wow. And that was what a priest told me. So, you know, that's an interesting thought. And I think sometimes you can, if you don't go down the deep end, you can reconcile your religion and your religious beliefs with science. They don't have to be mutually exclusive.
That was part of the Scopes trial, that argument.
The what?
The Scopes trial? The Darwin Scopes trial?
What do you mean? Explain it to me.
Scopes trial, that was what when the guy tried to teach evolution in the U.S. and got arrested for it.
Oh, okay.
Scopes. Yeah. Oh. And so then they brought in, like, the super religious trial lawyer. And, and then they actually put him on.
Mm-hmm.
They put the lawyer on to defend as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And they questioned him on, like, well, so what was a day? It's like, was it 24 hours? Was it 25? He's like, well, could have been 25. Like, well, wait. Okay, so if we're not going with 24, and that's what he extrapolated.
Yeah.
So it could have been could a day have been a year? Could have been 2 years? A million?
The day is actually not 24 hours.
Yeah. Fascinating enough.
What?
You know, because of that.
Oh, because of the leap year?
Yeah.
No, not even that. Just like the scientific clock, like the true scientific clock, like time. Well, I mean, with
the atomic clock.
The atomic clock is different than.
What is it?
I don't even know.
It's like 23.97 whatever.
Okay. Yeah, round up. So
that's like me putting apostrophes on people's words right
For
now.
Some reason, I thought you were going to go to a dick joke and be like, that's like me saying my dick is like 7.5 when it's really just 7.
This is nerdy correction. Well, actually.
Well, actually, brothers.
Day's only 20.
Well, it's also interesting to think, like, if, like, the higher, like, you know how people are like, well, how can God already know before, like, you do something, right? But it's also interesting to think if you're higher up in the sky, you can see a parade from start to finish, right? And you could see where it's going to end and everything else.
Uh-huh.
Just another way of kind of looking at it. If God's big, you can see everything from start to finish. And so, I don't know.
There's a lot of things I think, you know, that are, you know, unexplained phenomenon and other things that, you know, we just discount as hocus pocus. But when you look at the things that we do know, like mm-hmm. that matter and energy are transferable,
right?
That you can burn something right. and it will turn into light, and depending upon what you burn, the light will be a different color, and it has right. to do with the atomic structure and the electron orbitals and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what spectroscopy and astronomic observations are all about.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can, you know, if you start thinking about that matter and energy, and then also like these concepts that we're coming up with, we're really just like inventing them and then cross-referencing with the world we can observe, right? Mm-hmm. It's not too hard to actually extrapolate and go farther to think that things like the power of prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, or people who talk about like, you know, like that whole book, The Secret and Manifestation and stuff that. I actually think that, you know, simply by thinking of things and thinking about things, which is really why it's important to have a positive attitude,
mm-hmm.
You can actually make things happen. I mean, you're already conquering mind over matter just with your own body.
Right.
Your body is made out of matter, and your mind controls it.
Right.
Right. And your body can actually control its surrounding environment. Like, look at all the buildings. We're sitting in a building right now. We're using this equipment. It's all been constructed through the use of people's bodies. Like, either, you know, sometimes a machine is involved, but that machine was made. It all comes back to mind over matter. Our minds are able to control the matter of our body. And then that, you know, we are able to, through being clever animals, go even farther than that. But I think sometimes things happen because, you know, people literally just think them or will them without actually using their bodies.
It's funny that you say that, because I remember literally probably like 9 or 10 years ago, I was sitting, you know, I was living in Auburn, was kind of living a boring life, wasn't dating anybody, and I would just, like, I was living in this triangle where I'd be at home, I'd go to work, go to the gym, just come back home, and I remember seeing, like, Jeff Dye, you know, performing at Giggles, and I was like, man, I'll be really lucky someday if I could even just get a weekend spot doing comedy. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to put that out there in the universe. One of these days, I'm going to be good enough to work on the weekend somewhere. And it's crazy to look 10 years later, and it's like now I'm at, you know, one of the number one clubs in Washington.
Right. And maybe one day you'll be good enough to be there.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
I think, you know, well, there's something to, you know, to setting goals and achieving goals, and there's something like about that. But, you know, sometimes weird, freaky stuff happens, like you know, like you're thinking about somebody and they suddenly call you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, like, oh, you know, like the kind of like deja vu, or sometimes you think you know, you've had a dream about something and then mm-hmm. it happens, or, you know, there's stuff that's weird, freaky stuff. But a lot of times I think people really try to discount that as being impossible or as too improbable or,
right.
you know, because it's scary.
You want to hear this crazy deja vu I told Silas that I had 2 weeks ago? So, probably 2 years ago, this was a different set of lotto numbers I had a dream about, but the numbers were 8, and then it was an X, and then it was 61, 63, 68, and then another X. And I was like, well, what do those two X's mean? And so I was like, well, let's just play the letter to number game. So I made them 24, right? So I played those numbers for like a few weeks, and I was like, eh, nothing happened, right? Shit you not, 2 weeks ago, it'll probably be a month past since whatever this has aired. But, I look and I'm like, oh shit, the lotto numbers came up, but it was, instead of being 8-24, it was 8-14, 61, 63, 68, and then 24. And I was like, fuck, man, we were like literally one number off. And like, I don't know how I would have told myself this is the date you need to play it, but Numbers came up.
See,
man.
I think, you know, okay, so there's also stuff that happens. I think sometimes that happens and you realize and you're recognizing the patterns. And this is one of the reasons why I think also this whole parallel universe thing actually has carries a little bit of weight, or I think it's plausible, is that mm-hmm. we also know with like chaos theory and fractals and stuff
mm-hmm.
that there are patterns to the universe that are not necessarily explained, or, you know, a galaxy swirling in the sky looks just the same as, you know, as the bubbles of your pee going down a toilet.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's all these weird, the spiral in a snail mm-hmm. is the same as, you know, other stuff. You know, it's just all these weird little patterns. So I think sometimes these patterns, there's like echoes and reverberations in these patterns. And if you can figure out, you know, what this pattern is to the universe, or at least you get some kind of like weird, you get like into a current or an mm-hmm. eddy somewhere, you can sometimes, I think, take advantage of that. And you know, your premonition about the lottery is based on numbers, and numbers repeat themselves just over and over and over again, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff that's happening, you know, and sometimes these phenomena are really freaky, and we, you know, attribute them to the gods or a god, or, you know, anything you can't explain, we just kind of lump into this category. Oh, God did it.
Right.
But, you know, the universe is very, very complex.
Yeah.
And we don't really know what it is or why we're here or any of that stuff. But the more we learn, the more we get insight to these little patterns, you know, I think the more powerful we get. And we could have destroyed the universe with that Hadron Collider or whatever it was.
Right. And then here's another thing I wanted to bring up real quick before I forget, is God leaving us broke sometimes. Because right now, the minimum, what is it, being broke in Seattle means?
Oh, that's an interesting segue.
I was just trying.
Segue!
Segue! Hey-o!
Hello. I was going to say, though, we got some 3-day weekends coming up.
We do. I'm going to be playing them numbers for you so we can go on the road with our show.
You can give me the numbers, too, and I can play them.
Oh, yeah. I'll text you.
No, I'm totally playing them for
you. No.
I totally didn't win. Those weren't the numbers.
I'll text you them tonight.
I actually played a lot of tonight.
Me too.
Because
let's see if we lost.
Yeah, but in my head I was like, oh, yeah, 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a 3-day weekend. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
I wonder why.
Why do you keep mentioning 3-day weekends? Does that have something to do with the lottery?
So when I had the original premonition, I was sleeping in this room with this bright blue window, and I said to myself, oh, man, we won $9 million after a 3-day weekend. And I don't know if I was saying something, $9 million, like $109 million cash after a 3-day weekend, but it felt so real. And I remember seeing this blue window, and I'm like, what is that? And then literally like a few weeks after this happens, in my room, I was like, you know, the heater's at the top of the bed. Let me go ahead and like turn around and put my feet at the top of the heater, because that would probably be more comfortable. And then I look out, and they had just installed these blue floodlights outside of my window. And I'm like, holy shit, that's the window. And then here's the even crazier part. My wife was covered in.
Said you can't move until we win.
You probably won that shit, but because of those assholes in their electron smasher, you probably just had a dream of the alternate reality.
Dude, I was just thinking that today. I was like, that is so.
Oh, that would suck.
Well, I think sometimes that's actually what happens in dreams and stuff.
Yeah.
Is you're actually having a dream about something that
is a parallel.
Isn't going to happen here, but already happened or was happening or happening simultaneously in one of the parallels.
My parallel guy has a lot of sex.
Yeah, my parallel. Yeah. Honestly, my parallel had
with Joe's wife.
My parallel had a dream of two, like me having two kids, but it was like somebody else. I was like, this is creepy. And then, like, I also had this this dream that I'm in this huge house that's on the water and like Bellevue that I've seen, but I was seeing pieces of it in on Zillow, and I was like, oh shit, no, that looks familiar. But I know I'll never buy that house.
So. Do you watch Flash, Joe? Which show? Flash.
The Flash.
The Flash?
No.
I mean, I saw the first half of the first season.
It's
but
all about parallel universes and alternate timelines.
Well, in that Batman Superman movie, the Flash shows up for a little bit, and he's in another dimension.
Oh,
Bruce Wayne's like having a dream, and he wakes up, and the Flash is there.
Flash is trying to reach out.
He's like, Bruce, you have to stop him, blah, blah, blah. And then he has...
What? Remember in the Batman vs. Superman movie?
Which was a piece of shit, by the way.
It was bad.
Right.
But remember when he's having the dream about all the demon things coming and getting
the demon bats.
The demon bats.
Oh.
The man bat.
The man bats from like Apocalypse and stuff. Yeah. So he wakes up and Flash has like a mustache and he's like, Bruce, am I too soon? You have to stop him. He's like, I'm too soon. And so
that was actually, for me, the best part of the whole movie.
It was, yeah, yeah.
That was the part that sent chills down my spine, and then the rest of the movie, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, I wish they would have let me write that shit. It would have been so much better.
Let somebody write that.
They, you know, they tried to incorporate too much. They put in Doomsday, and then they also try to do, like, the whole, you know, Frank Miller thing, and, like, you just can't do all of
You know what it is? They wanted to be Marvel overnight. Instead of doing it,
yeah, you got to work at that. You got to build it up a little bit, and that's why the Marvel thing's working. Like some of those, I mean, the Thor movie, you know,
yeah, with everything else,
but
yeah, but here's the thing: you have a few shitty movies, but you have probably what 10, 20 great ones. So,
well, they have to try to do these movies because they need to justify the huge prices, for movie tickets. Just like landowners are trying to justify the huge prices. In you know, housing and why
you need to go contact Silas.
That's a segue. Right. What Manny was trying to bring before was, do you know, like in Seattle now, in King County and Snohomish, if you make less than $72,000, they're considering you lower income.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, median income's like 112 or something.
Which is like, where are these people? Yeah. They're not coming to comedy shows. What the hell?
Isn't that crazy? Like,
they're not tipping their Uber drivers. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, it's definitely causing a big bump in the real estate prices. But you know, everybody's always complaining about the real estate, and I think a lot of that net worth that people are talking about is in the real estate, and a lot of the real.
I'm not even thinking about the real estate costs, but. It's more just that whole idea of making $72,000 being less than that being low income, and I'm like, what? How is that possible?
Yeah, I think my mother made something like that when we were growing up, and we were upper middle class. Mm. Like she bought a house in Bellevue. We were in the suburbs. It was nice,
right?
You know,
I mean, Grant, I've been self-employed for like 20 years, so my sense of how much I make is a little different because I take a lot of deductions. So
that's also weird too. I have a business, and you know, my goal is for the business to like make a dollar every year because you know you have to show a profit or you can't take those deductions.
You're
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But anything that you know, with the orchids, it's nice because anywhere you want to go, like Hawaii or Florida,
there's flowers here. It's a deduction.
Well, you know, I'll make it a point to pick up a business card talk to somebody while I'm there just to justify the whole trip as a deduction.
Bring back an orchid.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did that.
Just buy a few and send them home.
They'll ask you, was your intention to do this? You're like, yes.
That's still so crazy to me.
And why did your wife come? Because I'm married and I can't make any decisions without her.
She owns half the business.
$72,000. I mean, here's the thing.
I don't think I've ever made that much in a year.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever made that much in a year.
I think comedy
and work. I get it in King,
work.
But King County, but I was like, Snohomish?
Yeah,
Snohomish County.
Can they do meth out there?
There's some, yeah.
Hey, there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah, seriously.
You make more than $72,000.
I mean, you do have Edmonds. Well, wait, Edmonds is in King County.
Okay.
Or, in no, Edmonds is in Snohomish.
Snohomish.
I'm just trying to think of what other rich Lake Forest Park could be.
Well, anything that's on the water. You get little pockets of rich people there.
I'm just trying to think, like, even in Linwood, I mean.
Linwood, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's water there. But I'm just thinking, like, how these people make that much?
Yeah, man.
Because you get too high and nobody's commuting in. Yeah. Maybe Boeing people make way more than I thought they did.
Well, it's probably the Microsoft. Definitely some Microsoft, right? They make probably.
Snohomish County.
Oh, Snohomish. What businesses are out there?
Boeing. That's it.
Oh, they have other things. There's manufacturing and stuff, though.
Yeah. Is there farmland out there? No?
Can you make that much farm? I'll farm.
Honestly, some of these farmers make a shitload of money.
Are they the ones that get paid not to grow things?
I don't know.
Those ones?
If you're in a commercial industrial farming business, you can make a lot of money. But that's the whole thing is that you have to have, like, you know, hundreds of acres. And it's not like you're not out there on a tractor, like, pulling that shit around. You got people doing stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. And you're working in an office, and you're trying to get that stuff sold
the
safe way.
I was more blown away by the Snohomish thing than about King County. King County was like, a lot of Amazon, but.
But still, it's like, you know, I find that most Amazon people are like they're under contract with somebody else to work at Amazon.
Amazon pays really well. I got a buddy who is, he's not listening.
Yeah.
But he's not qualified for anything.
Yeah.
And and he got hired at Amazon, and they're paying him like 70-something thousand a year. You know, now he's, you know, he's a smart guy.
They have a tough interview process, so he must be doing something.
I wonder if they have
a lot of black Spanish.
People.
And actually,
oh, yeah, that'll get you.
Yeah,
I mean, his job is to test he basically tests the, I think it's like the Amazon
website
in Spanish on all the different devices.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
So he has the keys to this horrible little room that's got all the iPads, and I guess they had to put the Galaxy in a fireproof box.
You know, no shit.
But they have one, you know.
Damn, it exploded on him.
And and he goes in there, and his job is to, like, you know, do mock orders of stuff.
Wow.
Make sure everything looks all right on the device.
Oh, wow.
I think that's still crazy, the whole phone's catching on fire.
Yeah, man.
I recently flew. We took a family vacation, and they asked us at the thing, do you have any weapons, firearms, or a Samsung Galaxy 7? They asked me. Yeah. And I was like, are you seriously asking me? She's like, yeah, there's been some explosions, and, you know, we just can't have them on the airplane. Because one of those things, it's...
Could you imagine, please toss your phone, please.
They probably
toss your
phone.
Like, what?
Well, they just, I think, yeah. And
or
they
put it under the plane or something. Turn it off. I don't know if you would do.
I think that's kind of what they make you do, is, like, turn it off or power it down or whatever, because... You know, if you have one of those things in your luggage and put that thing up against the fuselage and it pops and it blows a hole in the side of the
plane. Is that what terrorists do now? Like, they're like, okay, let's just get 100 of these.
That's why they're not.
A couple of them will start.
That's why they stopped with the laptops, apparently. Like
international flights.
International flights.
Yeah, not domestic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit's crazy, man.
Because if you're here, you're definitely not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Only if you're coming from another country.
Oh, it's all bullshit.
Possibly.
There was one guy who almost put a bomb in his shoe, and now we all got to take our fucking shoes off.
Yeah.
And there was one lady who had a toxic Pepsi, and now you can't take a Pepsi through the airport.
Really?
Fucking Pepsi.
Toxic Pepsi?
They had some bomb where you mix a Pepsi. It was two fluids.
Is that why you put meth? You put Mentos?
You know what my you know what my favorite one was? Was the guy who, like, brought a bomb on a plane and it exploded, and he was the only person who got sucked out of the plane. Did you hear about that one?
Oh, no.
Everybody else survived, but he just, like, blew himself up and flew out the plane.
Well, you got to remember, like, the people that they're getting to do this are not the brightest.
They're not
the
brightest.
Okay. Yeah. You know, they're like... They're buying into that whole 70 virgins thing.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I think the year was like 96.
I'm just picturing you saying, yeah, the Taliban trying to get me a joint.
No, you're 96, and our flight to Arizona, we were going to a theater conference. There was a bunch of us students, and our flight had mechanical problems.
Oh, okay.
And so we were all at that. We're like, we have to catch a bus to get, once we get to Arizona, we have to get a bus to go up to Flagstaff because we'll fly to Phoenix. And we were like, they're like, well, we don't have anything for there. And they're like, well, maybe this other airline will try to put you on someone else, our sys partner. And we had a couple, like, we ran to gates to try to get on different airlines even.
Oh, wow.
And one of the people, Jeremy Shepard, who's not listening, he ran on to a plane going to Phoenix that he had no ticket for.
Oh, shit.
They let him on because they're like, yeah, my flight, you know, the flight was a problem. Like, okay, fine, just get on.
Wow.
And he took, like, the last seat, and we were trying to, everyone else was, like, looking, and then finally it worked something out for us, but it was an 11-hour delay. But
damn.
But I was like, that was the time where we could run gate to gate
and
get on different airlines than we had tickets
for.
Oh,
when I was a kid, my parents were divorced. My dad lived in California. Mm-hmm. My mother would take me onto the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
And then drop me off at my seat.
Yeah.
And then get off the plane.
Yep.
And then, you know, and you could take somebody to the, and you could just walk into the airport to the gate and see them when they got off.
You used to be able to, like, literally not only do that, you could just sit and watch planes take off all day if you really wanted to. I remember my grandpa, that was his favorite thing to do with the kids when they were, like, poor. Was like, hey, we're going to go
to the airport. Watch planes take off.
Wow.
Eat a $15 grilled cheese.
Yeah, seriously, right?
Better than going to the movies.
There was a time when people thought, like, you know, we shouldn't charge too much for this. We should be make it affordable for everybody. People thought that. Joe's like, that's crazy. Why would you ever do that?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing is ever.
Get the money.
Inflation everywhere, man.
Dude, I got to make more than $70,000. I'm not going to cut it in this town. That's $15 nachos.
Here's the craziest shit to me is I was watching MSNBC before I got here. And Lawrence O'Donnell played a clip of Ronald Reagan with his tax cuts. He was like, for the median families that are making $29,000 a year, I'm like, you know, family of four, $29,000 a year. I'm like, damn, two parents making $29,000 in the 80s.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, how far are we removed from that? And, like, can you imagine $29,000 for...
Dude, I remember making, like, $7,000 in college, like, and I lived off of it.
Crazy.
I had a job in high school, and I was, like, a real big deal the day that I got a raise from $5 to $5.25 an hour.
Wow.
That was, like, a huge thing for me.
Like, things are changing.
And I've always been very good with my money. I saved it all in high school. When I went to college, I had a bunch, and I got a job in college, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I was making $5.25 an hour, and it was like amazing.
Dang.
In college, I had a 4-bedroom apartment.
Uh huh.
Say that.
4-bedroom.
4-bedroom apartment.
Wow.
There was four of us in the theater department. We shared it.
Yeah.
It was $600 total.
Wow.
So we paid $150 a month for rent, and I remember like sometimes like I gotta scrape together money for rent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's hard. Now $150 is like I need that daily.
Yeah.
Or shit's there's gonna be a problem at home. My wife wants fresh eggs tomorrow, and those are like $26.
Damn, that's crazy.
True.
Yeah, I mean,
like $150 would pay for rent. I'm just like, that's amazing. Like just to think about that, I lived that's and how crazy.
I had an apartment on. I was a 1-bedroom apartment on the 5th floor with a view in the U district, and I think I paid. It was a lot then, and it was like $700 a month.
Wow.
And everyone's like, yeah, you're doing great. And that was when I was doing that water damage job because I got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I liked that apartment. And I think that same apartment now rents for like three times that.
Yeah.
It's like probably $2,500 a month.
I mean, we got food. So the prices are a lot in Seattle.
Yeah.
Where we are. We're listening. The rain won't stop. Like, how are people just not depressed completely all the time?
God, right?
Like, the rain, we've been, if you guys around the country are listening don't know, Seattle's broke a record for the number of days it's rained in a row.
Yeah.
Hopefully, by the time you hear this, that's over. But
it's still going.
It was a non-friggin' I wasn't outside today, but I heard something about, like,
there was rain.
They said it went so hard the cars pulled over because they couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? What is that?
I was on the 36th floor of the Bank of America building and just hail just raining down. I was like, it sounded like somebody was like throwing rocks at the window. And I was like, oh shit, it's just hailing ridiculously out here.
I thought you worked in Bellevue now.
I do. One day a week I'm in Seattle. So.
Did you work on that high?
Yeah, man. I'm always
like. Nervous?
A little bit because after you think of September 11th, you're like, fuck, man. Literally.
Oh, before that, it was the movie Speed.
Oh,
when
right.
they all got trapped in that elevator in the beginning.
Wait. What? Oh, yeah, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew. When that movie came out, there were a lot of people who worked in big buildings who were like, I'm not taking the elevator. But you can't take the stairs because you work on the 40th floor.
Yeah,
so what are you going to do?
Oh, that's a... Yeah. What are you going to do, Hotshot?
I get so nervous when I'm up high. And also, I'm like, I just need to get up.
I don't like heights. I don't. I can't. Like, there's people who could stand on the top of a building and be fine. Like that guy who tightrope. Walked across the...
Oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Like, dude. Oh. My balls just sank like, when you said that. I was like, oh, no.
That is the scariest thing to me. Why, like...
I know those things are built for earthquakes.
Yeah.
To save them. But my thought is like, if there's an earthquake, I'm going to fucking die.
Yeah,
like, it's going to tip over.
You know?
I just think that it's going to tip over.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like... Those steel beams can only take so much, right? I mean, I know they're built for...
Right,
you know,
like a match will burn the steel. That's what I've learned. A little fire to the steel, melts it. It's gone. Right?
Thousands of degrees.
Huh? I don't park at Parlor. I have weird paranoid things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like mine are just so just abstractly. I don't park in the building Parlor's in.
Right.
Usually because it's underneath the building. And every time I'm in there, I'm like, well, if there's an earthquake, I'm fucking dead. I'm going to be trapped here.
I feel like you'd probably be safe.
Probably, but there's no
logic.
I
like those underground parking
brain.
Structures because I'm not worried about the earthquake so much as the bomb.
I'm afraid
it's
going to
flatten.
And if Korea
me.
Drops that fucker on us, then we're going
to
be, you
know. Have to live in that for a little
you're
bit.
You're going
to
be the only one that lives.
Yeah.
And you're going to only be alive for a day.
Ooh.
Because you're going to have to come out for food.
You oh, with the radiation.
A day without food.
Well, he's talking about radiation and all that.
Whatever.
Shit.
I'm just saying you're going to have a very short and uncomfortable life living in a parking lot. But
level F
right.
of parking, you could survive.
For how long?
I was actually reading the other day, like, well, you'd survive. Then you could get out.
How long do you have to let the radiation go?
They actually said you only need to wait.
A couple weeks, right?
Depending on where you are. No, actually, once the fallout clears in like 40, mm-hmm. like in 90 minutes. Oh. They said go to a safer place in 90 minutes just to get away. But this would be a good movie idea, right?
Oh, okay.
The bomb hits while you're under one of those. Yeah. And so then you have to live. Maybe this is a series.
Oh.
That you live.
The parking
you're
lot.
In the parking lot, and you're going through every, like Walking Dead, except it goes nowhere, right? Like They can't travel, but you're just like.
You're just going car to car looking
car
for.
Trying to.
And so you just
trying
meet
to find
other
a Nutri-Grain bar or something.
Yeah. And then you start meeting other people underground. Yeah.
And then you start meeting people.
This might be a comedy. I'm not sure.
A good meet and eat.
Yeah. It would probably be like two seasons. Yeah. And that's it. And then you get out and you're like.
Because you're like, oh, we don't know what to do. Have a baby. Somebody have a baby. And they're like, okay, we have the baby. Okay, now he's six. We're just going to, like, are we going to explain
you gotta,
it? No.
You got to do it like.
No, he's just six now.
You got to do it like Mad Men, where there's like a different actor that plays Bobby Draper in every episode.
What? I didn't watch that.
Oh, well. You know, the main guy's kid is like, I don't know what happened, but they had an actor and then he had to go or whatever, but yeah. Child actor. And there's like this running gag that Bobby Draper was like played by like eight different actors or something.
To keep him
the
same
he shows
age?
Up like he's usually just in the background. Like he doesn't have any, he has one speaking line, like the whole, you know, thing. But he's got a couple of kids and there's like the story about how the dude's, you know, losing his kids because. He's getting divorced and all that.
I was watching some Deep Space Nine a little bit ago, a couple of years ago. I started trying to catch up on it.
Catch up? That show hasn't been on TV for 20 years.
I've seen it, but I wanted to watch them all again.
Right.
And I'm watching it, and I was like, wait, that's a different actress than I remember. And that's why I looked it up, and one of the actors had been switched. Like, she was a secondary Deep Space Nine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, secondary character. Mm-hmm. So then I started, like, I spent hours researching why this woman switched acting. And I was like, this is why internet should not exist.
Yeah.
Because I spent like three episodes.
I used to do the same thing with like Roseanne, like when they switched out the Beckys. Or not Beckys, but the daughter.
Did you look it up?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They had a different daughter.
Was there internet then?
No, this is like later on. I looked it up.
I love
it's
the fact
it's always weird when they do that on
internet.
TV. Like on Happy Days, they had a brother.
Yeah.
Richie Cunningham had an older brother.
Just like the first episode.
Right. And then like no one mentions him ever again.
The same thing with Family Matters and what was the little Judy? Remember the sister? Do you remember Judy, the little sister? And she like literally was never on any other episodes. And then she ended up in a porn like later in life. And I was like, ooh.
Well, I mean,
shouldn't have fucked with Urkel.
But back in the day,
did I do that?
Pre-internet, you'd be like, "What's a different actor?"
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, then you might read it in a magazine or be questioned if you ever went to a convention. But
like Fresh Prince.
Now I get like, I think having information is horrible. Yeah. Like, I mean, it is.
You used to have to know stuff. Yeah. Like, if you were in an argument in a bar, you had to go to the old guy who was always in the bar and be like, you know, "Hey, Ricky, like, you know, what's the answer?" And now, like, it doesn't matter. Even if you know, you don't know because you can look it up on the internet.
We need to go see that movie, The Circle.
Oh, I do want to see
it. Yeah. Have you seen the previews for that?
I have. And isn't it based? I think it's based on a book.
A bunch of men stand around. And it's not a
circle. There's a piece of toast.
So this one is literally.
I think it's based on a book.
But it feels like it's like about Facebook and everybody being interconnected.
I think
it's about
privacy.
Right.
They're just appearing. And it's happening. I mean, that's actually, you know, this is one of those things where art is sort of mirroring our own fears. We're having less and less privacy as we turn around every time.
Right.
And, you know, it's good in a certain way.
People are arguing about the wrong part of privacy, though. They're like pissed off that they can sell my information now to Facebook can just sell my info and it's horrible. And I'm like, you fucking post everything that's going on with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
What I don't like is they can hack your phone and like see what's going on through the camera on your phone.
Isn't
right.
That
I
crazy?
Mean,
that kind of stuff
but
scares
people
me.
People are videotaping themselves enough that I'm like, we know.
Right.
And those people that aren't doing that, y'all ain't that interested.
You need more privacy
for
some of these folks.
Nobody's looking. Nobody cares. Don't worry about your internet. Who cares if you bought Jane Austen's complete works last week?
Yeah.
Nobody's. Yeah, that privacy's not hidden. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey.
I just wanted to talk about raw steak. What did you write raw steak for?
That said rain streak.
Oh. That's the worst handwriting I've ever seen in my life.
I was writing it for me, not for you. This is rain streak. This is R-A-I-N-S.
Wait, show Joe.
But raw steak is very tasty. You got to watch out for that E. coli.
I swear to God, it looked like it was raw steak.
Possibly. It looks like it says raw stream to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought, raw stream. And then I was like, what's a raw stream?
It's that circle movie.
Yeah,
I wouldn't eat raw steak. I like a medium, like a medium steak.
Do you like medium?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like.
Oh, I like it medium rare.
I like medium. I don't like that.
I want to
like,
see a little flesh.
When I see the.
Yeah.
I want to know I'm eating an animal.
I see that, like, that fat, gristly shit on it, I'm like, I don't want to eat that.
Well, I think a lot of people get squeamish about eating animals, but, you know.
I don't get squeamish as long as you cook it.
Yeah.
What if it's raw? Like, I'm like, ugh. It's like
no, I want to taste it. I want the soul of the animal to be still in it, you know?
See, I feel like Joseph's the first person. Like, if you're in a plane crash in the Andes Mountains, he's going to be like, you know, we could eat people.
We're gonna do it.
I mean, he'd be like, dude, it's been 3 hours. And you're like, I think we should plan it.
We just need to get ready.
You're like, I don't like Henry. I think we should look.
You're looking
hey, man, Henry's still alive, Joe. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's looking pretty fit.
We still have Snickers bars, Joe.
So like, I read meat. This I thing like that said, you know, that the when you eat human flesh,
mm-hmm.
When you eat any kind of thing, your body has to break down that thing and make it part of your body.
Yeah.
Right? So when you eat animals, and the closest animal to humans that we eat on a regular basis as far as the meat is concerned is a pig.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit.
But the thing is that the protein in human flesh is exactly the same as human flesh protein. So when your body needs to make new flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Old human flesh is actually the easiest thing to make it out of.
Really?
Yeah. So when people eat other people,
let me scoot away from Joe a little bit.
When people eat other people, they sometimes there's cannibals that have talked about getting like a little bit of a rush or a high, right?
Shit, that's weird.
And it's because you're eating this protein that's exactly the protein your body needs, so you get this really like bizarre burst of energy.
Wow.
Right? It's like putting like you know like the premium unleaded in your sports car, right? So
wow.
So sometimes cannibals get like they get the fever or whatever.
Oh God, you're gonna like somebody's gonna be listening to this and be like, I gotta try that. Right? What the fuck?
The day that Joe started the zombie killer.
You know what goes good with it?
A nice candy.
Oh my God.
Hello, Clarice.
All right, Joe. Well, we're out of time here. That's how we're going to end this, about flesh eating cannibalism.
This has been a fun
We covered
episode.
It all, literally, the whole universe, and we ended on cannibalism.
Yeah, there you go,
how
man.
Appropriate.
It came full circle. The energy
you know, people,
coming back into...
People fucking it all up and coming down to eating each other. I think it's great.
All right, so check out Joe's show at Cooper's Ale House.
Yep.
Thursday nights, it's 9 p.m.
Yeah, yep. Make sure go support that.
There you go.
Thank you, Joe, so much for coming and filling in.
Oh yeah, I'm happy to do
that.
It. You guys are great.
Yeah,
it's fun.
All right, Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.